Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly favored. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, again, there's nothing greater than God's presence. If you'll just worship and get in, get off your blessed assurance and do something. Where's God? He's right in front of you. You just got to step in. Amen. Got to step in His presence. Where everybody's wanting God's presence, the Bible says, draw near to God, and then He'll draw near to you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, and forget not His benefits. How many know God's got benefits? For you. You got a lifetime warranty, man. You got an insurance plan. Amen? It says, don't forget the benefit. What does it say? That He forgives you when you get stupid. Amen? Amen? He forgives us when we do dumb things. Thank God. We'd all be in trouble without forgiveness, huh? Amen. It says He heals us when we get sick. Amen. It says that He rescues us from a life of destruction. Snap. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He puts good things in our mouth. Hallelujah. And He renews your youth like the eagle so you can fly. You know what you fly over? The storm. Ooh, you don't want to get caught in those storms. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Yes. Ephesians chapter 5. So everybody there? Let's read verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be what? Imitators of God. Hello. Be imitators of God. As what? Dear children. Aren't we not His offspring? You know, I think one of the main problems is that people lose sight of who they really are. They begin to sell their ID. They exchange who they really are, their DNA, for what the world offers. And the world doesn't really offer anything but death, sorrow, destruction, lust, torment. But the benefits of God are eternal. Far be it that we should live a temporary life instead of an eternal life. And that's living from the future, knowing this. It says, walk in what? Love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you smell wonderful tonight. You smell like grilled chicken, man. Roast turkey. Hallelujah. Verse 3. But what? Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of what? Thanks. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience. So we're to be the light. We're to be imitators of God as His offspring. He wants us to express Him. But first you got to be filled with Him. Because we're good at expressing evil, but we're not real good at expressing light. Because your carnal person can't express God. Your carnal person can only express evil. Only the presence of God can express Himself. Amen? So we can't express God. He expresses Himself through each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 1. And though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but not have love, I what? I have become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is a choice. Love does what? Suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Now, I want you to understand, this is not the love of the world. This is the love of God. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The love of God never fails. So with his presence to express God, you must express his love. And only he can do that. But it takes our cooperation to express it. Remember, love is not an emotion. It's a choice. People are always looking for the feeling to make the choice to love something. Believe me, there are days when I have to make the choice to love a lot of things. I love you, even though I can't stand you. I love you, even though I don't like you. Because I choose to love. Why? Because I hate evil. And every one of us should hate evil. But we should still love the person. Amen. But it doesn't mean that you're going to cooperate with evil. You can expose it. Because God always exposes it. Amen? Okay, so love never fails. Now, we're getting to the good point, okay? But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, he's going to tell you when. For when we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, it ain't here yet. Hello? When it comes, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or woman, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror. What does a mirror do? It reflects. It reflects. Now we see in a mirror. But then face to face. We see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Known by who? God. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. The greatest is what? Love. And love is a what? Choice. It's a choice. Where there is the love of God, there's not the love of the world. Where there's not the love of God, there's the love of the world. It's one or the other. You can't walk in both, not at the same time. You may choose to love God one day, and the world the next day. Amen? But again, we see things as a reflection. Even your eyes see things as a reflection. Your eyes go, what through your eyes, they go to something, see it, and it comes back to you. Everything in this realm is a reflection. Does everybody get it? Everything in this realm is a reflection. So there's a time when we need to put away selfish ambitions, love of the world, complacency. Why? Because God's trying to bring something to me and you. It's called a message. A what? A message. Yeah, we're waiting for the completion of perfection so that we'll know all. But it's not here yet. We only know in part. And again, a mirror reflects. It's just like the sight, our vision is a reflection. He says, abide in love of God and you will catch the message of God. If you abide in the love of the world, you miss the message that God's sending. So there is a time where you and I, what goes up comes down. What did I just do? I caught the ball. So many times people are too busy to where? You know what happens? Where's my ball? What did I just do? I caught it. That's how God is with me and you. We must catch the message. Has everybody got it? And it takes focus, doesn't it? You got to focus to catch the message. And that's how God works with me and you. Too many times, people are so caught up in other things that they're not catching the message. It's bouncing off their head. Some people are getting a black eye from it. Fat lip, fat tongue. Got to catch the message. Catching the message is an important, vital part of as a believer for me and you every single day. Because God is speaking to us all the time. 1 John chapter 2. What is he telling me? Does everybody get it? What's he saying to me? What's God saying to me? You're not going to get it unless you what? Catch the message. But you got to do what? Focus. You got to be able to catch it. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. And verse 9. Let's speak it together. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So a person stumbles because what? They're in the light? No, because they're what? In the dark. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going. So if he's in darkness, can he catch the message? No way. And they have yellow marks all over their head. And here it says, and does not know where he's going because the darkness has what? Blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word abides in you, and you have overcome the world and the wicked one. Verse 15. But do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. Here he tells you again, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There it is. And so many times people will exchange that every day, sometimes two and three times out of the day. And that's what the enemy tries to do. He wants you to exchange the love of the world for the love of God so you can't focus on the message God's sending you because you can't catch it. You catch the message with the love of God, not with the love of the world. Amen? It says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, hello, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who what? Does the will of God will what? Abide forever. Abide forever. And the only way to abide forever is to catch the message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So if you reject God's love, you accept the love of the world and the will of evil. One of the things that every time you're going through a circumstance, even your trials and tribulations are reflections that a message God's trying to bring to you. Everything God is trying to bring to you is a message. Has everybody got that? So it's our responsibility to catch the message. One of the things God is always trying to bring to... Listen, you can't receive the message until you acknowledge, what's God trying to tell me? That's how you first focus. What are you trying to show me, Lord? What are you trying to show me? What are you doing? You just started focusing, didn't you? Why? So you can what? Catch the message. See, if you're too busy blaming everybody else, you can't catch the message. You're not focusing on what God's trying to show you. You're focusing on what the devil's trying to show others to you. Oh, hallelujah. Sure got quiet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Is everybody there? We're going to start at verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should what? Abound more and more. Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk into what? Please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Your what? Sanctification. Your separation from the world. Your severing of entanglements from the ways of the world. Why? So you can what? Catch the message. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's thoughts also. Everybody thinks, oh, I haven't fornicated. Or really, you probably fornicated 40 times today in your mind. That each of you should know how to what? Possess his own vessel. In what? Sanctification and honor. Listen, you sow honor, you reap honor. You sow respect, you reap respect. Oh, that must be a spiritual law. That spiritual law is the most powerful law there is. We'll go there in a second. Let each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in what? Passion and of lust. Because lust is not love. Like the Gentiles, like the world, who do not know God. That one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? In holiness. Therefore, he who what? Rejects. This does not reject man. You know what they reject? God and his what? message. But they reject God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. You have a choice of catching the messages of God or rejecting them. But God will not force your free will. Amen? But what you reap, you will sow. You will what? Sow what you what? Come on. Is anybody going to say it? You're going to reap what you sow. Well, everybody say it. You're going to what? Reap what you sow. Thank you. Let's go to Galatians 6 then and get this over with. Galatians chapter 6. Am I speaking another language? Well, then we need some interpretation. Galatians. Chapter 6. In verse 7. Hallelujah. No, there's nothing wrong with the recording. That's okay. Something wrong with the messenger. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever man what? Sows, he will what? Reap. Now, wait a minute. What I sow is what I reap. Is that a reflection? Yes. And every reflection, every area of reap has a message. Is everybody with me? Every area of reaping has a what? A message. And you're going to either focus and catch the message from God, or you're going to reject the message of God and catch the message of evil. Because what you reject, you accept. And what you accept, the other one you will reject. Somebody got it? For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It is the reflection of the message that one must catch every time. Every time, but it takes what? Focus, doesn't it? It takes you to pay attention. It takes you to what? Hear. And it starts with a simple question. What are you showing me? What are you telling me, God? He doesn't show you the other person. Does everybody get it? He first shows you. Now, I'm not saying that during prayer something can't come up or whatever, but it doesn't come up immediately like God's, oh, the God showing you. It's nothing like that. You'll be sitting, after you've done your warfare or whatever, you'll be sitting there and God may show you something. But it's not to accuse, it's not to condemn, it's out of love. And there's that part where you and I've got to break off the love of the world to enter into the love of God, to receive a message from God, amen, and catch that message from God so that it's not in any guilt or condemnation, but it's out of counsel, correction, and direction because it's backed by love. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? God who at what? God who at what? God who at what? Various times and in what? Various ways. Spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. What was he doing? He was sending out a message. But the prophets had to do something. They had to catch the message before they could speak it. So that caused them to focus. Why? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. See, so you've got to have a desired ear to hear. You must have a desired eye to see. And you must have a desired heart to receive. So these three must come into focus to be able to catch the message of God. But the carnal man cannot catch the message. It is foolishness to him. But in various ways, God spoke. And he has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he had made the worlds, and being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become a much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It says that he is the express image of his person or his character. Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh. And what was his purpose? To bring a message for his people to catch. He wept multiple times because they wouldn't catch the message. And they paid the price for rejecting it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4. In fact, they're still paying the price, aren't they? I truly believe in these last days, in this third whirlwind, that we must be able to catch the messages. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Therefore, since we have this message, our ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of what? Shame. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our message or gospel is veiled, amen, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Why? Because they're not catching the message. They're actually dying, spiritually dying. And then they look to the world for life. When the world can't offer them life, can only offer them death. Whose minds, whose thoughts, whose spirit, whose eyes, whose heart, the god of this age, Satan, has blinded, hardened. Who do not believe or receive, lest the light of the gospel, the light of the message, or the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They reject the message of God, then they accept the message of evil. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory, in other words, that's why he says, look at my, that's why the Bible says, seek my face. Seek my face. Why? Because there's a message. I can't tell, man, I can't tell you how many times that, there's been times I've been praying, all of a sudden I saw the face of the Lord come. And it was image, it was an, like an outer image in his face. And he would begin to speak to me. Didn't happen all the time, but it has happened many times. And he says, seek my face. Why? Because his face carries a message. Remember, Jesus carries the face of God Almighty to release a message to his children. A message of love. A message of hope. A message of eternity. A message of who we are. A message of power. A message of boldness. A message of humbleness. A message of repentance and forgiveness. A message that only a father can release to his children. But they must do something. They must catch it. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18. Would you read it with me, please? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing. It's foolish to them. They can't catch it. They can't catch the message. The message of the cross is forever. That message is constantly expressed. Every time you look at a cross, no matter where you're going, you know Jesus paid the price for you. You know that God is real. You know that there's an eternal place waiting for me and you. You can't deny it no matter what. That message is constant no matter where you look. I love driving down Highway 50 or even east-west. There's this one church that's got this huge cross up there, man, at night. It's lit up and it's like, yes! It always reminds me of the message, the price that was paid, the blood that was shed. And that's all he's asking is that we catch the message. Why? His most important thing is that we know who we are in him. He made a way for us to abide in him and us. What a glorious, awesome thing that God would want to express himself through this. Yeah, praise God. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, being rescued, accepting the rescue, and catching the message, it is the power of God. Why? You have power over devils, power over thought, power over influence, power over deception, power over all darkness and evil. We have power. Why? Because he paid the price. The shadow of the cross overcomes you, overshadows you. That's where you were birthed from. You were birthed from the side of Jesus, just where Eve was birthed from Adam. That same place is where you were birthed from Jesus. It said that blood and water came out of his side. He was pierced. He was pierced for me and you to be birthed. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish foolish, the wisdom of this world. This world carries a lot of foolishness. And the wisdom of this world is going to try to remove an individual from the relationship of God. Now, the wisdom from God says, use the wisdom of the world. Has everybody got it? But never allow the wisdom of the world to use you, because we have the power over all things. That's why the love of God that's in me and you overcomes the love of the world. Amen? But we don't use the love of the world, because the love of the world is lust itself. But God gives us witty inventions, doesn't he? So he gives us wisdom to use the wisdom of the world to put something together so that he can get the glory. For since, verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe or follow. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called. How many all called? Come on, you're all called, aren't you? You wouldn't be here if you weren't called. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God has been granted to me and you. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. How many of y'all know we've been despised? Well, that's why you got chosen. We are the outcasts of the world. We are part of the world. We were the knuckleheads out there. Oh, yes. Now, and the thing, and the verse 20, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in the presence of God. Why? Because we know we didn't do this. Believe me, I didn't come into the world this way. I came out of the world this way. Hallelujah. I got unhooked. I got unplugged, man. I was in the matrix deep. Lost. They didn't even know what section I was in. They looked for me for years, man. Yeah, glory. Proverbs 10, I think. Yeah, sounds good. Finally, they saw the blue light special go on. It took them a while to answer it, though. They thought it was a mistake. Maybe there was a short somewhere. Nah, they couldn't be him. They're going to arrest you today. I think Jesus said, you guys are taking too long to rescue. I'm going to go get him myself. Hallelujah. Some of us just need to get hit with a baseball bat. Proverbs 10. In verse 11, please. Proverbs 10, verse 11. Let's speak it. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devout of what? Understanding. Boy, there'd be a lot of people beaten these days, huh? At least bombarded with tennis balls. It says, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to what? Life. The wages of the wicked to what? Sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. But he who refuses correction goes what? Astray. Whoever hides hatred has a lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. He who refuses correction can't catch the message. It's rejecting the message. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Obviously, the message is catching the message. That's the title. Catching the message. Not the tennis ball, the message. But how do you, what does it take to catch the message? Focus. or the messengers just bounce off you. Boom. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Let's speak it together, please. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, which will be the rapture. And then the lawless one will be revealed, which the Lord eventually will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. With all power, signs, and what? Lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Because why? They did not receive the love of the truth. They rejected the message of love. That they might be what? Saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. In other words, there's a time when after the end of the age, at the end of the age of grace, in this arena where the body of Christ is removed, God is going to say, okay, now you saw the body of Christ removed. You saw the rapture. You saw my children being taken up. You saw the witnesses go up. Do you believe me now? Although it's going to be too late for them, but they can still get saved as long as they've not taken the mark of the beast. Because once they take the mark of the beast, there's no turning. So that the rapture will be a sign, and it's not going to be some quiet little thing. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a shout with the trumpets. And they're going to see Jesus in the air, and we'll be taken up to meet him soon. So the rapture is also a sign for people, but many will say, oh my God, I thought I was all right with God. You know what happened? They missed. They didn't catch the message. And then I'll have to go through tribulation, hiding, starving, beheaded, tormented, whatever it may be, during that period of time until we come back. Yeah. Because they what? They rejected the love of truth. They did not catch the message. Amen? It says in verse 13, verse 11 again. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Or in the world. Pleasure in lust. Pleasure in the character of evil. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through what? Sanctification, that separation from evil presence, evil association, and the world. Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, following the truth, catching the message, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle or letter. Hebrews chapter 12. At least I hope that's what it says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, who sends a message. For if they did not escape who refused the message, who spoke on earth, how much shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Oh, gosh. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And I believe this is the whirlwind we're in now. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence, honor, respect, and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Psalm 107. I was watching a football game over the weekend. This guy dropped two messages. Wide open. You know what happened? He started running before he caught it. He lost focus. I know he was very upset with himself. I was upset with him too. Dummy. Thank God I'm not the way I used to be. Hallelujah. Wait, they had one less TV. Hallelujah. We won't go there. Psalm 107, verse 10. Let's speak this together. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they what? They rebelled against the word, so that they catch the message, or they rejected it. And what did they do? They end up in what? Bondage. Sitting in darkness, deceived. It says, because they rebelled against the message of God or the word and despised the counsel of the Most High, his counsel, correction, and direction. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses when they finally what? Got humble. God does not hear a prideful heart. He hears a broken one. He brought them out of darkness, verse 14, and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Come on, how many has he done that for you already? Hallelujah. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them again. And then he sent his word and what? Healed him. But they didn't get healed unless they did what? Caught the message. Delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Oh, hallelujah. So we don't want to despise the counsel, correction, and direction of the Lord. Amen. In Psalm 51, it takes prayer, because you sow prayer, you reap a message. You sow prayer, you reap a message. No sowing of prayer, no message. You sow worship, you reap a message. It's coming, because what you sow is what you what? Reap. Hallelujah. Psalm 51 and verse 12. Would you read it? Restore me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will what? I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you did not despise sacrifice, or else I would give it. You did not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a what? A broken spirit. That's humble, contrite. A broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Why? Because when we get broke, we hear. Unfortunately, it has to take a person to get broke to be able to hear. And when you have an ear to hear, you know what happens? You focus and catch the message. You know, that's why some of us had to get to the end, to eat so much dirt. We finally got to the bottom. Of course, for me, there was no way down. I was down. My only way was up, unless I died and went to hell. And when it got to that point, and I wept, God help me. See, I never forget where I came from. Never. No matter what my circumstances are, I always remember where I came from, the pain, the torment, the deception, the life of lies, such a terrible life. I never forget where I came from to know where I am now. Am I where I want to be? No. I want to be more. That's why he says, abound more and more and more. No, I'm not where I want to be yet, but this is where he has me. And so I do it unto the Lord in joy and the fullness of authority, wisdom, and knowledge that he has allowed me to have, knowing that I will stand before him in the hope that I will be well-pleasing. But I ask him, anything I need to do? Something you want to tell me? Something you want to show me? Why? Because I want an ear to hear and catch the message. And this is not just at prayer time. This should be all the time. Every time something occurs, Lord, what are you trying to show me? When fear comes, oh no, give it a slap. Tell him to get behind you. Lord, what are you trying to show me? Does everybody get this? Why? Because once you acknowledge that, what are you trying to show me? You've set focus to catch the message. If you're not saying that, you're not trying to catch a message. You're trying to justify what just occurred. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to close at Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. God willing. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. See, wisdom tells you what to do. Calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourse at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. What's she doing? Sending a message for someone to catch. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called you, and you refused. You refused to catch the message. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel, I would have none of my and have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a what? A whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I won't answer them. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. They hated my message and did not choose to fear or reverence the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, and will be secure without fear of evil. Whoever does what? Catches the message. Catches the message, it takes focus. Catches the message, takes an ear to hear. Catches the message, takes the love of God. Catches the message, takes humility, or else everything just bounces off. Again, the law of sowing and reaping. Every reaping has a message. Every reaping, there's a message from God somewhere along there. Amen? The whole thing is whether we're willing to catch the message or not. So when we reject the message of God, we accept the message of evil. And when we reject the message of evil, we accept the message of God. But you can't receive them both. Even the word says you'll love one and hate the other. You can't serve the promises of the world and the promises of God. Again, we are in turbulent times, and the whirlwind has been manifesting. It's cleaning, it's shaking, it's gathering, it's purifying, and it's releasing provision. We're in it, and I really believe we'll be in it until we go home. Amen? Praise God. So let's cast a message, right? Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for the message. Help us to have an ear to hear, an eye to see, and a heart to receive. Help us to know and be ready in season and out, no matter what's going on in our life, that every trial, tribulation, affliction, every sowing and reaping that you're trying to speak to us, let us come to the conclusion in this whole arena of this message to where we say, what are you trying to show me, Lord? What are you trying to show me that will set our focus? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing your word alive and for bringing impartation, that we may be prepared to receive and catch your next message that you have prepared for us, and promise to give you, Lord, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.